Good morning and welcome. I'm Elizabeth Brown, CEO of Community Foundation Sonoma County. Thank you for being here this morning and for representing over 150 of our community's essential nonprofit organizations. While most of you are here because you're a nonprofit leader, I also know that we have several elected officials or their staff, and I'd like to recognize you by having you raise a show of hands. Thank you. Thank you for your leadership and for your partnership. Although I haven't spoken with each of you personally, here are some safe assumptions I think I can make about your life these past 7 weeks. You were personally impacted by the wildfires. You may not have lost your home, or you may have lost your home. You certainly had friends and colleagues who did. You and your family took in evacuees, visited shelters, prepared food, asked, listened, cried. You tried and failed 100 times each day to get your bearings. What you did do is keep your sense of connectedness and gratitude. Your organization sprang into action as a second responder, a term I heard from my friend Cami Kale from the Volunteer Center a couple weeks ago. While you may not have arrived alongside the paramedics, your teams followed soon thereafter. In easier times, some of what you did was so outside the boundaries of your regular job that it would have been called mission drift. In these times, it's called leadership. Your pre-wildfires challenges persist. In fact, most of the challenges may have gotten even worse. As an organizational leader, you look to adapt strategies, budgets, work plans, board meetings, job descriptions. You may have done a one-time disaster planning exercise, but you never intended that you'd be leading your organization through a real one. No doubt you've now begun to consider how to get your organization back to some new version of normal during what is typically your most busy fundraising time of the year. You are resilient. You are here today because you love this place that we are all lucky enough to call home, and you are called upon to be a leader in this next phase of disaster recovery and rebuilding. You have questions, ideas, and concerns you want to share. You are ready to build new partnerships, champion issues of equity, and commit to the long-term effort to rebuild our community. You are in the right place, and you are nonprofit strong. Thank you for your leadership. And now in what I hope will be one of the easiest icebreaker exercises of all time, I want you to turn to someone next to you. Go ahead. Okay, listen. Okay, just turn, don't talk. Okay, so you have a partner. The person with the longer hair, raise your hand. Okay, you are person number one, and you are gonna say to person number two, thank you for your leadership with all the enthusiasm you can muster. Look them in the eyes and thank them. Okay. Okay, and now a shorter-haired person, you're gonna look your partner in the eye and thank them for their leadership. Thank you. Thank you. We are joined today by representatives of several, okay, now quiet. We're also joined today by representatives of several of the key funding organizations that, along with Community Foundation Sonoma County, are playing a key role in our community's response effort. As funders, our thank you to all of you nonprofit leaders should be in the ways we support you through our grants process. This, starts with clear communication around strategies and process. In that regard, I'm delighted to share the stage today with leaders from Redwood Credit Union, Tipping Point Community, Rebuild North Bay Foundation, UndocuFund, and United Way. The purpose of the panel is to provide an overview of the focus, timeline, and application process for each of these funds. The funders here today, along with scores of other fire recovery efforts, have been quite successful in harnessing generosity from around both the county and the country. But let me be clear, we rely on your organizations to deliver your essential core services. Our funding efforts are nothing without your partnership. Given our own vested interest in your effectiveness, I invite my fellow funders today to join me in being ambassadors of two very specific key messages related to your work. First, along with funding programs and services directly, invest in infrastructure. Infrastructure is defined as the structure needed in order for an operation, enterprise, or society to function. Synonym, bedrock. In order for our investments to be effective, we must acknowledge and fund the bedrock that supports all of your programs and services. Second, disaster funding should be additive, not replacing other giving. On this Giving Tuesday, it is an important time for us to remind all donors that the pre-fire needs persist. Even though we had this unexpected giving season of sorts in October, the essential message we are committed to emphasizing throughout the community is this: in addition to fire recovery, the need for funding of the continuing year-round services that your organizations provide is absolutely essential. And now I'd like to hand the podium over to Wendy Todd. Wendy, we all jump in various ways from the wildfires, and Wendy jumped right in when I called her and said, could you start helping with the convening in about 10 minutes? Wendy is an independent consultant who partners with foundations and nonprofits and public agencies. Prior to launching her consulting practice, Wendy worked in philanthropy for 10 years and in nonprofit organizations for 15 years. Wendy is currently co-chair of the Bay Area Health Funders Group, a collaborative supported by Northern California grantmakers. I had the great fortune of working with Wendy when we both were grantmakers at Marin Community Foundation. And without further ado, I'll hand it over to Wendy. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Welcome, everyone. Today, we really appreciate that you've taken time out of your busy schedules to come together in a spirit of learning and sharing information. The agenda for today is that we will review survey highlights. We did a survey of the funders in the area, and we have some results of the survey to share with you. Then we'll hear from the six funders that Beth has mentioned, and then we're going to have small group discussions. And this is an opportunity for all of you to sort of explore and reflect on what the community's greatest needs are, what some of the values are that are driving the decisions you're making, and what are some of the opportunities that have come out of the disaster. We look forward to collecting your feedback and your thoughts on those small group discussions, because that can inform the funders in what they are deciding to do in the future. So we encourage you to stay for the full event and to really approach this meeting as an opportunity to learn and to share. So the survey that we did, I hate to use the phrase quick and dirty, but it was a quick and dirty survey because we wanted to find out what are funders doing and where are they in terms of their learning and their planning and their implementing and giving out funds. So we invited 15 organizations, 15 foundations or funding institutions to respond to the survey. And we know that there's many other organizations that are popping up or really great groups like the Rotary that are giving out funds, but we sort of stuck with the 15 funders that have infrastructure and are kind of the more significant players in the area that may had set up or are planning to set up disaster-focused funding specifically in Sonoma County. So you can see here what the range, the types of institutions that completed the survey. So 14 of the 15 that we invited completed the survey. It's important to note this is a point in time. The survey actually went out, I want to say, 3 weeks ago, and since then things have changed. So just know that the results that I'm giving you, things are constantly changing. And so maybe we would do another survey in the future, or we can build off of these results and learn more on questions that come up with these results. Of the 14 that completed the survey, 6 are actively making grants. 5 are planning disaster-focused programs or initiatives, and 3 said that they weren't planning to do any kind of specific disaster-focused funding. However, the funding that they are doing and their strategy that's already in place may impact folks that are impacted by the fires. So allocations, we asked for information about how much money was given out currently in present day, how much was going to be allocated by the end of this year, and how much was going to be allocated by the end of next year. And it was options, so we gave a range, 100,000 to 500,000, and we maxed out at over 5 million. This is just a little snapshot to say that that people are kind of trying to figure it out as we go, and that 81% of the survey respondents had determined their funding levels for this year. A little less, just over half, had figured out what their funding level was going to be for 2018. Many people said, we are still getting money in, so we're still trying to figure out how much money we're going to be allocating. The good news is that there's this $5 million you'll hear from the panelists is actually a smaller amount. We thought we were being ambitious at the time 3 weeks ago. Who's going to give out over $5 million? And you'll hear that there's many more millions to be given out. So the funding priorities, where is the money going? What are some of the funding priorities that people are considering? Again, these were multiple choice questions, so people got to indicate which type of entity, what kind of support, what specific populations, and what types of services or programs they were prioritizing, either currently or that they planned to prioritize in the future. Again, people often said, we're not quite sure what the greatest needs are, so we're figuring this out, but this is what we think the direction is that we're going to go. When I looked at the results, it was really clear to me that there are the funders that you're going to hear from and the funders that completed this survey are diverse. And that's a good thing because there's diverse needs and there's diverse funders that want to address those needs. So you'll see that the types of entities, there's a range. The type of support is a range. To Beth's point about Bedrock, the general operating support was something that 63% of the funders said they wanted to provide that kind of support, which can really help with the Bedrock, and also nonprofit capacity building. The cash to individuals, it looked like, and we'll hear hopefully some thoughts on this in terms of the panel, but it looked like some cash to individuals was a priority early on in the funding, and maybe that's going to shift over time, given the, as the years progress. So we'll want to hear more about that. And then project-specific grants. Nobody had checked the box for loans, but one funder said capital investments, so it's an area that we may want to explore more. And you can note that specific populations were also listed, and when we looked at the results around the specific I also looked at the results by how large the funder was, and to see if the results were any different when you segment out the large funders, and it was very consistent with these results. And then the type of services and programs, again, there was a long list, and I would just also add to what you see here that these were the majority of the responses, but 40% said that community advocacy was an important and an area that they were going to prioritize. And 30% said housing preservation, medical care, data collection, legal services, and transportation were going to be funding priorities. So we also asked, what kind of information do you need to move forward in your planning process and in your decision-making process? And the majority of respondents said that they would like information on how to co-fund and leverage resources, that they wanted data, more data on meeting immediate and long-term needs of specific populations and communities, and that data on the impact of the fires on the local workforce and economy would be helpful. The other options that people were given for this question included more data on housing stock, homelessness, and the healthcare system. So the last question that we asked was about how much funding, or do you intend to continue funding past 2019? And 7 of the organizations said yes, that they do intend to continue funding. 3 said no, and 4 said that they were unsure. So we're in this together for a long period of time, obviously. And there's more to be figured out, and there's some things that are figured out. So that's what the purpose of today is to really share the information and move forward together. So in that spirit, I'm going to invite up folks to be on a funder panel, and I'll invite you to come up to the stage. And you'll see your seats here. So on my far right, your left is Mike Kaloff, from CEO of United Way on the wine of the wine country. Next to him is Daniel Louie from Tipping Point, CEO and founder.
Lurie.
I'm sorry.
Lurie.
Lurie.
That's okay. My mom doesn't get it right sometimes either.
Susan Shaw from the North Bay Organizing Project and UndocuFund. And Matt Martin, the VP of Community and Government Relations for Redwood Credit Union, which is sponsoring the North Bay Fire Relief Fund. Darius Anderson from the Rebuild North Bay Foundation, and Beth Brown, who you met earlier. So you'll see on your table there's index cards. And what we're going to do after the funders present is we're going to field some questions. So on the index cards, if you have questions that you're thinking of for specific panelists, feel free to write their name and jot down your question, or keep your question high level, and we'll have certain panelists address the question. I can guarantee you we're not going to get to every question. But your question is still important, and we really want to capture what you're thinking and what you're questioning and struggling with. So please do jot down what you're thinking. Staff will be walking around to pick up your questions, and we'll do a Q&A afterwards. My other piece of advice and how this can go really smoothly is to think to not do solicitation on your index cards. This is a no-pitch zone. We're really here to share information and think about how we can move forward together. So we appreciate that. Okay, so with that, I'm going to invite Mike from United Way up to walk through his presentation.
I'm really sad that this is a no solicitation zone. I had put pledge cards under everybody's seat before you got here this morning. I'm here to talk a little bit about what United Way has done so far regarding the tragic fires and with our fund. We had a little bit of experience. Our United Way also serves Lake County, and so 2 years ago when the fires hit up there, we partnered with North Coast Opportunities and then served on Team Lake County to be very involved in the entire process up there. So when the fires came here, the staff, we got together and said, can we do something similar here? Is it the right thing to do? We said, absolutely. We need to make sure that we're actively involved. And so we set up a fund, or we reunited our fund, our United Way Disaster Relief Fund, that had been kind of sitting dormant, and we didn't advertise the fund to people. We weren't actively soliciting funds into this, but we knew that a lot of people were going to call us and want to utilize us as a channel. So I think, you know, as you hear a lot of the other panelists talk, we haven't brought as much into our fund, which was done on purpose. We wanted to be somebody that understood how to work the process more than to bring in all the dollars. We thought we could work together with others. So when you look at what we've done, from a short-term perspective, we started providing cash assistance to those who lost their home in the amounts of $1,000. This was in partnership with the North Bay Relief Fund, so I'm sure Matt will talk about that more later. We also wanted to provide cash assistance to those who took on a financial hardship. We saw that as a very, very big issue going forward. Some people couldn't get to work because of the fires. Some people lost their jobs because of the fires. Some took smoke damage, but they weren't insured. A lot of people were without electricity and lost all the food in their house. I was amazed in reading the applications on how many people had gone to Costco the day before the fire, which makes sense. It was Sunday. And I think anybody that's been to Costco on a Sunday knows that that many people probably were there and stocked up their freezers prior to. But they lost all that food. And again, knowing how big those bills are, it was significant. What we've done in those areas so far, we've helped out 3,900 families with nearly $3.8 million. And this is that direct, quick cash assistance because we knew that people, as they were trying to get back on their feet, as they were waiting for the insurance claims to come in, they were going to need some money fast. Knowing that we only had so much to work with, we wanted to utilize the dollars to get money out into people's pockets quickly so they could buy the things that they needed. Additionally, we started supporting restaurants. We had a very large donor come in with some very specific purposes of what he wanted to use the money for. And part of it is the restaurants that were feeding all of the people in the community for free during that time. Not the ones that were saying 25% of your bill will go to a fund, but those that were just completely doing it out of the goodness of their hearts because it was the right thing to do. So we surprised them with gifts anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000. Just walked in and said, here, we had a donor, an anonymous donor who wanted to support you and your efforts. Thank you for being there for the community. So we did that as well. As we look at our midterm goals and what we're trying to do, same donor wanted to really support the education system. And knowing that we lost some schools, he said, what if we provide the funding for some portable units so that we can get those classrooms back and get the kids back in class very quickly so that they're not having, you know, whether it be high schoolers in a preschool area or whatever that is, or too many kids in the classroom, we could do this. So we're working with Sonoma County Office of Education and a couple of different school districts to provide portable units for a couple of schools that were lost during the fire. When we look at the long term, now we're basically saying, you know, there's still some dollars coming in. We know we're going to have money left over, but it's a matter of what are we going to do with that? I can't sit here today and tell you I know completely what it is. I'm actually anxious to hear what some of the other funders are going to do long term, because odds are we're going to partner with somebody else at this table to really make a bigger impact going forward. So our process and timeline, we started immediately. Again, I think this had something to do with the experience that we had going into it. When we're looking at that first week, I think it was Thursday or Friday of the week one of the fires, we had already advertised that we had an application online for people to apply to, and they can apply through the 30th of November. So that they, two more days, so if you know anybody, two more days to apply for funding. And then upon the written proof of residence, they were living there, they were getting the checks 2 to 3 weeks on the late side, a lot of people as quick as 1 week. The restaurant funding happened within the first 2 weeks of the fires. And the school funding, the first payments will probably start going out in December. As far as communicating the work that we were doing, we kind of jumped into this without a communication plan. I'll freely admit that. We never thought about how are we going to do this. So short and long term is underway. Luckily, we've been able to use Facebook, newspaper, radio, even ABC7 out of San Francisco, all covered and helped us get word out. And then our long term funding is to be determined based on that. But the results of our work, again, I think this is like the first public outing that we've really talked about it. So we'll see how this goes forward, but I'm sure there'll be a communication plan written soon. So that's a little bit about what United Way is doing.
Thank you, Mike. So if you have questions, go ahead and just hold them up, and folks will be by to collect them. And I'll call up Daniel Lurie to the podium.
Good morning. So first, I can get to that in a moment, but the question that we get asked a lot when we're up here is, what are you doing up here? We are a organization that is 12 and a half years old. We've been fighting poverty in the San Francisco Bay Area, and we've called it the six counties. And we have not, to date, funded in Napa and Sonoma. Our focus is on education, housing, employment, and wellness. We have 44 groups that we currently support. And to the point made earlier, which I loved when Beth talked about it, is that from day one of Tipping Point's history, we have supported our organizations with general operating support. We are a true believer that that is the most important funding. I was born and raised in San Francisco, and I cut my teeth, my philanthropic teeth, at a place called the Robin Hood Foundation in New York City. I was on day four at Robin Hood, which was a block away from the World Trade Center when the planes hit. And I was a 20-something-year-old kid who experienced, you know, something that everybody in this room experienced, but I experienced it from a block away. And it was incredibly traumatic for all of us, but if you were in New York on that morning and then spent the next few months there, you knew that you needed to act. You knew you had to be part of the solution. And being at Robin Hood was the best place that I could possibly be. We established a relief fund then. I played a small role in that. I think we raised something like $40, $50 million. And there was no better feeling than to be part of helping those hardest hit by those attacks. And those were low-income New Yorkers. I came back, I moved back here in 2003. I went to grad school and I started Tipping Point in 2005 with a few others, Chris James, Katie Schwab, and Ronnie Lott. And almost from that moment, I knew that there would be something that would happen, and I thought it would happen in San Francisco. It just so happened to happen 60 miles north, 12 years into our tenure. And that morning, that Monday morning, we have a colleague of ours who is from Santa Rosa and grew up right near Coffey Park, and he started telling me this story about what was going on. And it was, you know, we were all sort of in shock in San Francisco. We smelled the smoke, felt it, but, you know, if you're not here, you can't know what happened. And so I kind of want to just convey to you all that we're in San Francisco, we're in the Bay Area, we weren't here, we can't begin to understand what you all have gone through and what you've been going through the last 7 months. But I will tell you that our community, a little farther south, is here with you, we stand with you, and that is why 4 days later, Tipping Point established our emergency relief fund. We knew we needed to act. We also knew low-income individuals and those vulnerable would be the hardest hit and would have the longest, steepest climb back. And that is why that is our focus with the emergency relief fund dollars that we have raised. So right there, I don't know if everybody can see it, but that is our focus, low-income individuals, families, and those most vulnerable. What I learned in New York, what my board chair and one of the founders, Chris James, who was on the Tulane board during Katrina and was part of the relief efforts after that catastrophe, is that you need to get money out the door and you can be patient. So we got $2 million out the door within a couple of weeks. I'm proud to say that this morning I'm allowed to say that now we've gotten another $3 million out the door, $2.5 million gift to the Santa Rosa Community Health to help that organization rebuild and provide health care and mental health support in the coming year. But as I think everyone up here will talk about, we need to have some patience and understand what issues bubble up for you all. And that is where I will tell you that Tipping Point wants to listen. more than we want to talk. We want to hear what the needs are of the community and the leaders of this room. And so we will keep 50 to 60% of our funds for the second phase, which we call the recovery phase, which is similar to what United Way just said, and I think you'll hear from others. And then we plan also to do rebuilding grants, so 25, 30% in months 9 through 12. Let's see what the next slide is. Well, before I get to that, on the rebuild, all I will say is we plan to get all of our money, and right now that total is at $23 million. We plan to get that out by December of 18. It does not need to be spent by December of 18. We understand that this is a years-long process, not a months-long process, but we want and will put, although we will retain a little flexibility in that language, in the sense that we want to make sure that you all have the support and the funds on that general operating support for infrastructures in years 2 and 3 and potentially longer. So our funds, although they may be out by that time, don't need to be spent by that time. So our organization, we don't have a formal application process. We never have in our 12 and a half years. In this case, we are relying on our friends and colleagues up here and in Napa and in Sonoma and Mendocino County and Lake County. We're currently staffing it. My chief of staff is here, Karina, and our COO, Annie. The three of us are kind of leading the charge on that. And we have a relief committee of our board and leadership council that makes our funding decisions. And I said all funds allocated by 18. So just the timeline, you know, 4 days after the fires we hit, we announced, we actually sent out an email to our donor base and we raised close to $6 million in an email in about two and a half weeks, which was incredible. And then we had an amazing collaboration between many companies, but I definitely will want to shout out Mark and Lynn and the sales, Benioff and the Salesforce team, Twilio. We put together this Band Together Bay Area concert that I think some of you came to, and it was a special night. And the San Francisco Giants and Kaiser and Google, all part of that. Another Planet and Live Nation, the music venue, and the San Francisco Giants were part of that. And so it was a remarkable evening, and one that I hope, once again, tells you all that there is an entire community in the Bay Area that is as standing side by side with you all. We will continue to be as transparent as humanly possible. All of our gifts will be on our website. Allocation amounts, groups that have been funded, all of our donors will be listed. We will keep that updated on a rolling basis as long, you know, in real time. So if we make a gift, the three new groups that received funding today are up on our website, and we will continue to report out and continue to partner with all the groups here and throughout the region. That's it. So I will just close by saying thank you. What I know does not go said enough is that you all are supporting so many clients and so many people that have suffered so much, and I know that that takes a toll on you all as well. And a lot of people are looking up to you, as I am, and I know everyone on this stage. We are looking to you all for leadership, but we also know how much you guys are going through. And so from the bottom of our hearts, we just want to say thank you for all that you do. So thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. So go ahead and just hold up your cards, and folks will come around, and we'll have Susan Shaw come up and talk about UndocuFund.
Good morning, everybody. It's an honor to be here with all of you. Yesterday, within a half an hour, I had three telephone calls, and they are typical of what we're all doing in the UndocuFund. The first one was from a man whose house burned down, and he had just heard that there was a fund he could apply to for support. The second one was from a woman whose house burned down, and she had received aid and support and felt like they had enough and they wanted to share some of what they had received with families who weren't receiving anything. And the third one was from a small congregation in Berkeley who'd been collecting gift cards, and she wanted to send them up for us to give out on to people who are applying for the UndocuFund. That's the kind of effort this has been. On Thursday, October 11th, four groups met: the Grayton Day Labor Center, Jobs with Justice, Grantmakers Concerned with Immigrants and Refugees, and the North Bay Organizing Project. We were looking at what was happening in our communities and what was needed, and we decided to start the UndocuFund. We didn't have a really clear idea of what this would mean for all of us and the work that we would be needing to do, or all the structure that we would need to set up in order to make this money accessible to people. We immediately started raising money, and we started meeting. We met with undocumented immigrants in the community to get guidance from them about what this aid would look like. The steering committee met and convened a group of advisors, and we quickly went out into the community and asked other organizations if they would want to participate and support this fund. So our goal was to provide immediate assistance for fire relief to undocumented children and their families, and to assist with recovery and support services and referrals. Our goal is to raise, we aim to raise $5 million. So far we've raised $2.4 million. We have another grant coming in from Kaiser for $250,000. The process for receiving funds has been a huge community effort. These organizations have all participated in accepting applications. We've trained over 50 volunteers who will come to clinics, and also there are several organizations, many organizations, that are taking applications on their sites. We realized that we needed to hire a coordinator to coordinate all of this, and even though he's doing an incredible job, all four of our organizations are also supplying staffing to make this work. Our goal is to make sure we've identified and assisted all eligible undocumented families by the end of the year. That's a daunting goal, and we may have to continue into January. But in January, we'll assess our funds, and we'll make decisions about continued funding to families in need. We've given 181 families, impacting about 713 people, a total of $433,500 so far. We will post reports on our website and send information directly to our partners. 5,500 people have given $1,900,000 to this fund. It's been an incredible outpouring. I mean, there was a group of Filipino chefs in the city who put on a dinner last week. There's winemakers who are contacting us about doing funding for to raise money for undocumented folks. It's been an incredible thing to participate in. And we're just very, very grateful for the support of all of you and the work that you're doing to make this fund work. One of the things that we recognized early on is that in many ways the fire was an equal opportunity fire. It hit all kinds of people, and it hit people who happened to be in its path. But the recovery is not going to be equitable unless we make it equitable. We have to make it equitable. We have to be able to make sure that the people who live and work in this county, the most vulnerable, the lowest paid, get the help that they need to stay here and continue to be part of our community. And that's why we started the UndocuFund. And that's what we hope to continue to do until we've reached everyone who needs help. We're small and we're simple, but what we believe that what we're doing is critically important in becoming the kind of community that we want to be. Thank you.
Matt from Redwood Credit Union will come next. Anybody have cards? Just go ahead and hold them up.